Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in the middle of studying the writings of John. We've taken the Gospel of John, we've studied 1 John and 2 John, and today, Lord willing, we're going to finish 3 John, which means next Sunday we will begin the book of Revelation. For today, we want to read verses 1 through 14. We're actually going to begin at verse 11 in our study, but reading verse 1, "The elder," that would be John, "to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." And as we said to you, 2 and 3 John, the theme is that love and truth are inseparable. You cannot separate love from truth or truth from love. Verse 2, "Beloved, concerning all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in health according as your soul is prospering. For I rejoiced exceedingly while or when the brothers were coming and testifying of your truth, according as you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than these, in order that I should hear my children walking in truth. Beloved, you are faithful. You are doing faithfully whatever you are working towards the brothers and toward the strangers, who testified of your love before the church, who you would do well, having sent them forward worthily of God. For on behalf of his name they went out, taking not one thing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we are indebted to receive such ones in order that we might become fellow workers with the truth. I wrote to the church, but the one who loves the preeminence or loves to have the first place amongst them, Diotrephes, is not receiving us. On account of this, if I should come, I will remind him of his works, which he is doing, as he is gossiping or slandering us with evil words. And not being satisfied over these, neither is he receiving the brothers. And he is hindering the ones who intend to do so, that is, receive the brothers. And he is kicking them out of the church. Beloved, do not be imitating the evil, but the good. The one doing the good is from God, and the one doing the evil has not seen God. Demetrius has had testimony borne to him by all, and by the truth itself, and by us, also we are testifying, and you know that our testimony is true. I have had many things to write to you, but I do not desire through ink and pen to write to you, but I am hoping immediately or soon to see you, and we will speak face to face, literally mouth to mouth in Greek. It's equivalent to our English idiom, eye to eye. We will speak face to face. Peace to you. The friends are greeting you. Greet the friends according to name. This letter is written to Gaius, verses 1 through 8. Gaius was a beloved brother. John called him beloved 4 times in the first 8 verses because he was such a blessing to the itinerant preachers who were coming through town. He would house them, he would feed them, and he would give them supplies to send them on their way. Unlike the woman in 2 John, she also housed the itinerant preachers and teachers, but she exhibited and expressed so much love that she was even housing the false teachers. She had so much love. And John's message to her was that love and truth are inseparable. Even in your well-meaning love, you could be supporting that which is not true. Therefore, it's not love. Love has discernment to it. Love loves the truth. Love supports the truth, not the error. That's why John can say, I love it when I hear that my children are walking in truth. Walking in the truth. The woman in 2 John was told, don't even receive these false teachers into your house. Don't even wish them have a good day, because you'll be participating and supporting their work. So he asked her to be more discerning, the people that she helped. Gaius was just the opposite. He also was beloved, but he had a discerning spirit about him in that he was in support of the itinerant preachers, the ones who were preaching the truth, so much so that they went back and reported to the church of Gaius's love for the brethren, how he took care of them and housed them. And at the end, verses 1 through 8, John tells Gaius, no matter what you have to suffer to do this act of love in supporting the brethren and receiving the brethren that come through, no matter what happens to you, keep doing it. Because there was a man in the church by the name of Diotrephes, the second of three men. We're going to study the third one this morning, Demetrius. But Diotrephes, verses 9 and 10, was a man in the church who loved to have the preeminence. That is, he loved to be first. There's only one other time in the New Testament that this Greek word is used, is Colossians 1:18, when it talked about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, everything happened so that he might have the preeminence. But here's a man, Diotrephes, who wanted to have the preeminence in the church. And we saw that he did four things. Number one, he rejected authority. John says that I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes is not receiving us. There is a letter that we do not have. Probably Diotrephes destroyed it. And he refused the authority of the elder, John. He's now in his 90s. He is the last surviving apostle or disciple. He's in the city of Ephesus in his last days. Now the leader of the church in Asia Minor. Diotrephes refused the authority of John. Secondly, he slandered John and those who were with him. Interesting, the normal word for slander is blasphemia, where we get the word blasphemy from. This word means to make up stories, make up false stories, false gossip. All gossip is wrong, whether it's true or not, but he made up stories with evil words. That's another instrument of Satan. If Satan cannot attack your doctrine, he will attack your character so that people hear about you in a bad way before they even meet you. And already in their mind, they have rejected you and anything you have to say. Kind of like coming in through the back door. Can't do it face to face, can't do it about scriptural or doctrine. It spread false rumors or lies so that people will reject you before they even get to meet you. So he slandered people. Thirdly, he rejected those who preached and taught the truth as they came through town. So, no, I'm not going to let you in my house. I'm not going to support you. Because he didn't want other people in town and people looking to them and listening to them and their teaching. Fourthly, not only did he not receive people into his home to help them, he hindered others from receiving the brothers. He says not only does he refuse to receive the brothers, but he even hinders the brothers from receiving the brothers. And fifthly, His edict was that if anybody does receive these Christians from out of town, they will be cast out of the church. This guy had preeminence to its highest degree. And as I shared with you last week, it's all based on pride. All sin is based on pride. But Diotrephes, his pride was that he was the leader of the church. And whatever he says goes. And he held people accountable and even kicked them out of the church. And Gaius seemed to be one of those that was right on the line where Diotrephes was about ready to kick him out of the church if he continued to receive the brothers. But verse 11 is a transition verse for today. It looks back on the life of Diotrephes and looks forward to the life of Demetrius. Verse 11 says for today, "Beloved, do not be imitating the evil, but the good. The one doing good is from God, but the one doing evil has not seen God." The word imitate is from the Greek word mimetai, where we get our word mimic. In Greek literature, especially in the theaters, a person who performed mime, a person who was mimicking, was somebody who would paint their face and put a costume on, and they would come out and they would actually act out a story without words. And you had to be able to understand the story and what's being presented just by the actions of the mime without words. Sometimes a mime would act several different parts. Obviously, not all at the same time. But one at a time would do several different parts. Paul used it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where he says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Some people think that means copy. But a mime or a mimic, what Paul is saying is, as you see the expression of Christ in me, without words, as you see the life of Christ in me being worked out in front of your eyes, imitate that. In other words, that's what you're to look for in your walk with Christ. Paul still, even though he's not here physically, we still have his teachings. We still have the historical accounts of what happened with him. We can still see the expression of Christ in his life. And so the word mimetai actually means expression. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 11:1, as you see the expression of Christ in my life, you follow Christ in the same way. What John is saying here in verse 11, what he's saying is, don't look to people like Diotrephes as your example. That expression, that life, is not the life of Christ. And he goes on to say, he says, do not mimic the evil, that's not the normal word for evil as in Satan. It's the word for maliciousness because Diotrephes was a malicious person. He acted like he was God. If you came up against him, he would kick you out of the church. That's a malicious person. Do not be imitating the maliciousness, but the good. Now, this word good is agathos, and it means the good of God. In other words, don't use Diotrephes as your role model. That is not how the church, how it should be in the church. But we have many aspects and characteristics of Diotrephes in the church today. There are people who reject the authority of the apostles of the Word of God, saying that Paul did receive revelation from God. He was anointed by God, but, you know, I know more today than, you know, with all of our technology, I know more today and I know better today than Paul did. That's pride. We still have the ministry, the doctrine, and the teaching of the apostles and prophets. It's the same truth for us today as it was in Paul's day. The truth is the truth. And so even though John and Paul are dead, yet their testimonies live on. John says, do not be mimicking the maliciousness, but rather the good. Look for God's Spirit in people's lives. Look for how what it looks like from your standpoint of how it is for Christ to live out. Look to Gaius. Look at beloved Gaius. He's even willing to suffer for housing and being hospitable to the itinerant teachers coming through. That's what love looks like. With discernment, that's what truth looks like. Love and truth go hand in hand, and Gaius is an example. Demetrius is also an example, but Diotrephes is an example of who not to look to as a role model. But remember, Diotrephes rejected authority. He slandered the apostles. He rejected those who preach and teach the truth. Many people in the ministry today are paranoid. You can only listen to me. Paranoid about listening to other people. And trying to hinder others from housing and being hospitable to others and fellowship, even with the threat of kicking people out of the church. That's dictatorship. There must be discipline in the church, but it's not out of a person's pride nor even his position. The moving of God's Spirit amongst the brothers within the church. Beloved, do not be imitating the evil, but rather be imitating the good. He goes on to explain, the one who is doing good, that's all one word in Greek. It's a compound word and it's a participle, which shows habit of life, not somebody who's doing one thing good, but somebody whose lifestyle is doing good. And again, it's the word agathos, which means the good of God. The one who has the good of God working in his life is from God. But the one doing evil, again, one Greek word, participle, showing habit of life. The person who is practicing maliciousness towards others has not seen God. So he's putting two things out there for Gaius and for the church. Look to the ones who have the good of God ministering in them and through them. But the ones who are practicing maliciousness, they are not the role models. They are not the example of what it's like to walk with the Lord. You are not seeing Christ in the ones who are practicing the evil. As a matter of fact, they have never seen God. They don't know Him. That's why I emphasize the difference in participles about lifestyles. It's not an act he's talking about, because sometimes we get malicious with one another. Even though I can't remember a time when I was malicious, I'm sure I have. Well, some maliciousness is justified. You can just call me Thorn, brother. I'm your thorn in the flesh, and it's justified. But the one who is practicing the good is the one that has God's Spirit dwelling in them, because good and goodness is a fruit of God's Spirit. But the one that is practicing maliciousness, that person does not have the expression of Christ in their life. So he says in verse 12, the example of Demetrius is, to Demetrius the testimony has been given in three ways. Notice this, by all or by everyone. Secondly, and by the truth itself. And thirdly, and also we are testifying, and you know that our testimony is true. Demetrius had the testimony of the Christian community, the brothers and sisters in Christ. They knew of him, they knew about him, and he was an example. He had the expression of Christ in his life. And they were to be followers of these types of brothers. They're role models. It's not a boastful, prideful thing. What John is saying, the same thing as Paul did, is that find the brothers and sisters that have the Lord in them. that you can see the expression of Christ. You can see the Lord working in their life. Those are the ones that you want to take after. Not copy them in a human sense. But if the Word of God says a truth and you see it living in someone, then you can put the two together and say, well, that's what it looks like. So that's what's going to happen in my life. I can recognize it. And I can know that the same Christ that's in Paul is the same Christ that's in me. I can see what it's like to have that truth living in my life. That's what it means to be a testimony, to be a witness. Is the truth of Christ alive and living. So Demetrius had the testimony of the Christian community. Everybody knew about Demetrius. Everybody could say he was a good brother, that he's walking in the truth and in love. Notice the second thing, and by the truth itself. The great test that we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. The Word of God was inspired by God's Spirit. So if God's Spirit is inspiring me from the Word, it's going to be what he wrote about. And as we search for truth, God has given us something that is tangible. It's a book. And yet people have written down the truths of Christ in ink on pages for us so that we don't get caught up in the mystical about what God's Word is saying. We can know what God's Word is saying. As I said to you a couple of weeks ago, that's one of the earmarks of Christian maturity, is when you stop paying attention only to what people are teaching and you start noticing what God's Word is saying. All of a sudden you go, you listen and you look and you go, that's not what it says. See if it lines up. A teacher is not somebody who teaches new things, that is, that you can't find in the Word of God. A teacher is somebody who takes the Word of God and shows you what's already there, is what it's saying. Because we have a tendency not to notice what it's saying. We have a tendency to go by how we're taught to look at what it's saying without looking at the Word itself. By the truth itself, Demetrius walked in the truth. Demetrius was like Gaius. Gaius did three things. Number one, he believed the truth. Number two, he walked in the truth. And number three, he supported the truth. So Demetrius was right there with him. There's his example. God wants me to believe the truth, but what's the truth? God wants me to walk in the truth, but I have to find out what the truth is first. God wants me to support the truth. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we are either supporting the truth or supporting a lie. That's it. You know how many times over the years I've heard people come to me and complain about their churches? It's just not the right teaching. And you go, where? Well, that's our home church. Well, you're supporting it. I mean, if everybody in the congregation realized this is not what God's Word is saying, they wouldn't support it and they wouldn't go there. Then they couldn't teach it. We're either supporting the truth or we're supporting the error. Demetrius, the truth of God itself bore witness to Demetrius. He believed the truth. He walked in the truth. And it is interesting that Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. In the first hour, we talked about wisdom. Well, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Jesus Christ is our life, he is our way, and he is the truth. So if I'm walking in truth, I'm walking in Christ. If I'm not walking in truth, I have to be aware that Satan himself appears to be an angel of light, and he does deceive and he does confuse. So I have to pay attention. The truth that I think I'm walking in might not be truth at all. Demetrius had the testimony of walking in the truth. Thirdly, John says, and we are testifying also. So John and his staff, the people that were with him in ministry, they also bore witness to Demetrius. And he says, and you know that our testimony is true. Just the opposite of Diotrephes. He wouldn't receive the apostles or the authority or the word of God. He was the center of everything. But John says, we as the apostles, we disciples, and the elder himself can give testimony to Demetrius. There's three good areas of testimony: by the community of believers, by the truth of the word of God itself, and by the apostles. We don't have the apostles around today. And I've had nightmares of going to be with the Lord. You would think that going to be with the Lord would not be a nightmare. But all the fanfare, once I walk in the pearly gates, I have this fear that John and Paul and Peter, and they're standing over there on the side, and they go, hey, Bill, over here. Over here, I want to talk to you. Talk to you about my letter that you taught. And realizing that I'm going to be there forever with these guys. So there's a sense, then there has to be a sense in us as we handle the word of God that these brothers could not be here physically. God is not using them as a physical instrument anymore. That he is raising up others to be the physical instruments through which God's Spirit ministers. But it has to be representation of the truth that these brothers received from Christ. I can't take it and make it be whatever it is to me, or make it relative to our day and age today, but rather attempt to and desire to seek the truth about what this letter is saying. What is his brother saying? God's Spirit helps us to understand. And we hope and pray that we're faithful to present exactly what John meant or Paul meant or Peter meant. But it is an awesome responsibility that when you preach and teach the Word of God, there's more responsibility in answering to Christ than anything else. But Demetrius, the truth itself bore witness to Demetrius. He believed it and walked in it. Of course, when you have the testimony of leaders, leadership, Christian community, and even the Word of God itself, he's not uplifting Demetrius into a position of leadership in the church. What he's saying is, here's a brother that has the expression of Christ. He's a good mime. He's a good mime. When I first understood that word mime, I thought to myself, you know, I got the bumper stickers on my car, and I got the bumper stickers on my forehead, and you know, and it's pasted on my back. And if you do that kind of thing, I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm just saying for me, I realized that I was advertising Christ more than people could see Christ in me. If people could not see Christ in me, just in my natural way of going about life, then there was something wrong. I wanted people to see Christ. I wanted people to see a difference. I wanted God's Spirit to touch people's lives no matter what I was doing or the other people in the room. I wanted God's Spirit to minister to them without a word. That's interesting how Peter would say, if anybody asks you for a reason for the hope that's within you, be ready to give an answer. He says, if people see it, if people see Christ, if people see a hope that you have in life, if people see a peace that you're experiencing in life, and they say, what's with you? Yeah, that's the testimony. Praise the Lord. They saw something different. I mean, they already know I'm different, but this is a spiritual difference in Christ. That's what a mime is. A mime is somebody who lives out their life without saying a word. And there's a story being worked out. There's a story being expressed. And for us, it's the Spirit of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 13, as he finishes off the letter, many things I had to write to you, But I do not intend or desire through ink and pen to write to you, but I'm hoping soon, immediately, to come to you, and we will speak mouth to mouth. For this church in verse 15, and this was a church that was experiencing tremendous difficulty. Diotrephes was the big cause of it all. People actually were not looking forward to coming for fellowship because of Diotrephes and some of the others that were following him. John says, peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to a church that was experiencing turmoil. He goes on to say, the friends are greeting you. That's the literal translation. Friends in Christ. And then he says, greet the friends according to name. The intimacy. John says, the friends that are with me greet you, and the friends that are there in the church greet them, but greet them according to name. You notice at the end of Paul's letters, he would literally say that and actually list the names of the people. We're talking about an intimate relationship in the early church. Much of that is lost today because of the large church structures, and we only see people once a week at church. But in the early church, Christians were hospitable to one another. They had people in. They housed the travelers. They fed them. They sent them on their way. The early church met in homes. They didn't meet in public until about the beginning of the third century. Then we had public church services. But they met in homes. It was very intimate, a very intimate friendship in Christ. The brotherhood and the friendship in Christ. Greet them according to name. We have finished John's letters, the gospel and John's letters. The gospel looked back on the life of Christ when he was here and highlighted his deity. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were things that were going on presently in the church during the time of John. And then next week, we're going to begin the book of Revelation, which is the future. What does the future hold? What does it mean for us? John wrote what we call the book of Revelation, as it was to be an encouragement to Christians who were suffering, people who were dying for their faith, in order to give them a glimpse of the victory in Christ, because they were saying, like a lot of Christians say today, where's the victory? Christ is coming. People might have to die for their faith. So they say, where's the victory? They will get the victor's crown, and then the Lord himself will come back, and the Lord himself will defeat his enemies. One day we're going to rule and reign with him. That is for our encouragement and for our instruction, is exactly what do these symbols and what do these teachings mean. It is to be an encouragement, be a blessing. John was actually taken up in the Spirit, taken into the future to see things in the future before they happened, while they were happening. God already knows. In fact, you and I today, as we live our lives today, God's already been there. He already knows. You know, so like one of us, if we saw a film or a movie, we saw it for the first time. We have different human reactions to it. But if you saw it for the second time, you already know what's going to happen. Like us today, when you're dealing with the truth of Christ, who knows everything from the beginning to the end, and the future has already been worked out, but it hasn't happened yet, you gain a little more confidence in the Lord than what we had before. Knowing that whatever happens to us today, it's no surprise to him. He's been there, done that. He already has our provision already for us. If we gain this kind of confidence in God, who knows all things. One of the things we're going to talk about in James next week is that the double-minded person does not have confidence that God's going to do things right. But we serve a God who makes no mistakes. Everything he does is right. We're not too sure sometimes how he's going to work things out and whether he's going to do it the right way. I say that from the foolish human standpoint, whether we approve of him or not. So all of this is working to cause us to experience more of Christ and to put more of our confidence in him. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. We thank you that we have teachers like Paul and John and Peter and the others. We thank you that we have role models like Paul and Gaius and Demetrius, and that we can also see the fruit of those like Diotrephes who want to have the preeminence, who want to be the authority, who want to be God's word. We pray that you would help us to be sensitive, to seek out the true expression of God's Spirit through others, that we might approach them as role models, that we can be around them and we can not only hear the truth of God's word, like in Demetrius's life, have the truth testified to, but we can actually see it living because we see Christ living as the truth. We pray, Lord, that our lives would be a blessing to others, that we would continue to decrease and you would increase, that others might see your glory, that our lives would be effective for Christ. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.